Dear listeners, good morning and welcome to Comme d'Archie, the podcast that opens the doors to the fascinating world of architecture. For newcomers, let me introduce myself. I'm the spokesperson of Anne-Charlotte Despons, PhD in History of Architecture, published author, head of a communication and development agency based in Paris, France, dedicated to architecture. Let's meet every week to discuss culture and architecture with specialists and learn how to look at projects through a context and diversity lens. Thank you for being with me today, and now it's time for talent.
Bienvenue dans Comme d'Archie.
Hi everybody, I am Spicer.
Hello, Anne-Charlotte.
Thank you for being here today. You are architect, you manage the Baumschlager-Eberle office in Paris. First question. Can architecture be a driver for a sustainable future?
First of all, thank you very much, Anne-Charlotte, for your invitation.
You're welcome.
We are honored to be part of your podcast, Anne-Charlotte.
Thank you.
And regarding your first question, can architecture be a driver for a sustainable future? My answer would be architecture must be a driving force. And maybe before speaking about a specific project of ours, I would like to say a few words about the meaning of sustainability, because we are used to focus mainly on the aspect of ecological sustainability, such as CO2 footprint or CO2 emissions, pollutions, resources, energy consumption. So this is indeed a crucial issue. But we must also be aware of the aspect of economic sustainability, such as feasibility in investments, maintenance costs, life cycle costs, affordability, and so on. But finally, there is also the aspect of cultural and social sustainability, comprising political and social acceptance, common cultural values, trust, integration, relationships. So this demands a more holistic approach to form a perspective for our future and the following generations. So we at Baumschlager Eberle, we believe that sustainable development is an issue that cannot be solved with technology alone. We need high design knowledge to combine the different factors in an intelligent way to get a convincing result.
But who is Baumschlager Eberle Architects?
We are a group of architectural offices originally coming from the western area of Austria, the Vorarlberg. Currently, we are about 250 people at the office. We are 18 partners with 14 offices worldwide. So in general, it's one partner working in one office. And this was quite a philosophical decision, as it gives us the opportunity to understand and face the physical, but as well the cultural context in which we are working. And you probably all know the slogan, think global, act local. This is how we see ourselves. So we have a global knowledge, but we apply it locally.
Mm-hmm. Over the past 30 years, Baumschlager Eberle have developed a method. How to work on this? Tell us more about it.
So we have developed four principles, in a way, four steps, how to develop the built environment in the future. It's a structure, it's a working tool that we use in all of our offices. And I can maybe start with the first principle or the first step, because we believe, or not only we believe, I think it's clear that the main impact on quality of the built environment is the urban design. If decisions are taken in a wrong direction, it can be really fatal for the future. Issues such as infrastructure, traffic, roads, density, volumes, and transparency are treated in that chapter, in that principle. But the most important theme, I think, is the contribution to the public space, which always is a key question. What is really the contribution of a building to the public space? And this is a source for identity and expression of public spirit. So architecture is never good when only representing individual thinking or being an autistic object. we believe that architecture is about collective values. And so this would be the first principle, the urban implementation. And the second step or the second principle would be the question, what is the impact that the structure, the primary structure of a building has, the primary structure has on a building? The primary structure should, we believe, at least last for 100 years or more. And we know that the most convincing buildings in history were buildings which were able to accommodate over different areas of time, different functions, and buildings that could maintain their value.
What does this mean?
It means that the crucial attribute is flexibility. Flexibility that is related to some physical principles, such as escape routes, bearing systems, technical potential, etc. But we believe that we should work on a flexibility that is based on long-lasting structures and flexibility in space. So the third principle in this method we apply to all of our project would be a look on the exterior envelope, the shell of the building, which has usually a lifetime of approximately 50 years, maybe sometimes less now, because we start to work on buildings from the 80s as well to make them more performant in their energy demand. And this work on the outside shell, on the envelope, requires that we pay attention to different issues. Of course, there is the first aspect of the physical components, the weather and sun protection, the insulation, the material. This is obviously connected to the question of energy demand and maintenance. But there is as well a second aspect that is, again, the cultural component, the expression of the building, which definitely is indispensable for its value and long-term acceptance. We believe that we need to create more atmosphere. Engineer standards or technology will not solve the problem of the quality of the built environment. We need a more specific expression, more identity, and more relation to the local culture.
What about the functions, the typology of buildings?
We believe that the past teaches us that nothing is as constant as the continuous change of functions in a building. The most accepted and therefore convincing buildings we know are the ones that comply with this demand. We all know these buildings. There are core values, the houses in our city where you can have that function and that function. Monofunctional buildings cannot respond to these needs in the future. And so this would be our principle, that flexible buildings will be able to answer future needs and different lifestyles.
You wanted to speak about your 22-26 projects that reflects all these values. Tell us more.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Anne-Charlotte. In 2007, we had the idea to build our own office. The building that is indeed called 22-26 is situated in an industrial area in the region of Vorarlberg, so in Austria. The situation does not profit from a very attractive neighborhood. The climate conditions are as challenging as in most parts of Europe. There are large temperature swings during a day, hot and dry summers, quite cold winters. But the building is very compact and set in a way that the use of land is reduced to the maximum. The house itself is almost an archetype of architecture. It's a cube, 24 meters high, 24 meters wide, and 24 meters long. The use of the building is mixed. So we have a restaurant and an art gallery on the ground floor. There are three floors with office use. And then there is housing on top, two floors of housing. But what is interesting in the project is that all floors are alike. That the structure, again, the primary structure we just talked about before, is so flexible to offer really a lot of possibilities in use. the floor to floor height is quite high, 3.75 meters, but which offers a lot of advantages because the spaces are brighter, the air quality is better. You have, again, this very high flexibility for specific installations. But until now, no big surprise. I mean, a lot of projects might have these advantages. But the point of this project is that there is a real paradigm change. We have inside a constant temperature level in between 22 degrees and 26 degrees, and that all the time, but without any mechanical system. There is no heating system, there is no cooling system, there is no ventilation system. And so to work on a project without any technical equipment allowed us to reduce the energy consumption of 67%.
Mm. You say no mechanical systems? Hence, are the building costs reduced as well?
Yes, of course. Because of this strategy to not work with mechanical systems, the construction costs were also reduced by 25% in comparison to a standard building. But the real important value is that the life cycle costs are, believe it or not, almost 50% below comparable buildings. And that represents a dramatic change in the performance and offers a new perspective for future realizations. So even though the volume is very simple, it has the building has a very strong expression. It has a slightly moved shape. There are strange perforations, and the chosen material is quite surprising as well. And all of this together creates a specific identity in that urban context. So to come to an end, I just want to answer your initial question, can architecture be a driver for a sustainable future? And our answer would be definitely yes.
Thank you very much, Anne, for your presence today. And bye-bye, everybody. And see you next Wednesday for our new Comdarchi in English. Take care of yourself. Bye.
Thank you, Anne-Charlotte. Stay well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to tune in to our previous content on Instagram at Comdarchi Podcast. If you like it, make sure to promote the podcast by giving it 5 stars on Apple Podcast and adding a comment, or on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe and listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.